When we look at this young slave girl, right? It's a topic for tonight, a young slave girl. Now we have a common saying amongst us, especially when we are enjoying ourselves. We always temper our joy by saying all good things must come to an end, right? And sometimes, this is an older saying from English, make hay while the sun shines. Of course, we don't make hay here. But basically, it's telling us, make the best of the opportunity that you have. You get a chance, you make full use of it. Because the opportunity may never come again. And such sayings shows us that life in this world is full of uncertainties and changes. In fact, somebody said that the only constant in this world, the only thing that never changes in this world is change itself. Right? Things change, especially good things. When you enjoy something, it's only for that period, and then it's gone. And you have a memory of it only. Our jobs can change. Our neighbors will change. Our friends may change. Even our enemies can change. One day is your enemy, next moment is your friend. We change. The healthy can fall sick. The sick can be healthy. The rich can be reduced to poverty, and vice versa. And even when those who are rich, who are poor, become rich, don't end up being happy. There's this story I read in the papers about one chap in Kuching. He struck it rich. He bought a lottery and won 750,000 ringgit. But within a few years, he became broke. He spent all his money without saving or anything. And what did he do? What did he do to himself? He dug a hole, laid in the hole, and he burned himself up. So no happy ending to that change. Even the so-called popular stars, the singers, the actors, their popularity comes and goes. When I was a teenager, Michael Jackson was hot. Now we only remember him. Because he passed away recently, quite tragically. But his popularity had waned a long time ago. Life for us changes. Nothing in this world is constant. And the Bible warns us against overconfidence. Sometimes we are too comfortable in our lives, especially when things are going well. But the Bible tells us this in Proverbs chapter 27 verse 1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. The weather can change. The climate can change. Our lives can change in an instant. The problem is, how do we handle the changes in our life? If it's mild changes, like a change in your neighbors, okay, you can adapt. No problem, you can accept it. But what about more big changes? Changes to your lifestyle, to your health and so forth. What happens then? Some people in the world cannot accept those changes and they become bitter, they become cynical, and many fall apart. Some lose their sanity, they go mad, and some commit suicide. You hear of children committing suicide after they fail their exams. One girl threw herself out of the apartment when she was scolded by her mother. All kinds of funny things because of change. But this morning, this evening, let us look at this girl, this slave girl. She experienced a sudden traumatic change in her life. It's something that many of us, God willing, will never experience in our life. Her life was changed forever. She lived in a time when the nation of Israel was split into two, the northern and the southern kingdoms. Right? She lived in a time when the worship of God, of the one true God, was weakening, almost lost. And so God punished the Israelites by sending their enemies against them. And one of these enemies were the Syrians. The Syrians were the traditional enemies of Israel. And the Syrians were led by this great general called Naaman. And Naaman's success against Israel was due to God. You see here in the second part of verse 1. Naaman was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. So this ungodly man, unbeliever by the name of Naaman, was blessed by God because he was used by God as an instrument of punishment against the people of Israel. But unfortunately, this great man, like many great men in this world, had a failure, had a weakness, had a fault. He had leprosy. He had a skin disease which made him ceremonially unclean. Now we go to the poor girl, this poor young girl. She was captured during one of Naaman's raids or attacks into Israel. And this young girl was made a slave to Naaman's wife. Her world fell apart. She lost her family. She lost her home. Literally, she lost everything. She lost her freedom as well. Her world fell apart. But as you can see in these following verses, she did not fall apart. She kept to her faith in God. And she was used by God and as an instrument to save Naaman. If you read the whole chapter 5, you will find out that Naaman was cleansed of his leprosy and he eventually became a believer of Jehovah God. This girl, she lost everything in her life, but she had one thing left that mattered most. That was God. She still had God in her life. Now first of all, let's look at this girl. Who was she? God did not see fit to give us a name. We do not know her name. We do not know her background, whether she was from a rich family or poor, or whatever, from which tribe. Nobody knows who she is or was. God only wanted us to know this much about her. She was a young girl. Young means maybe teenager, in the late teens, maybe 16, 17, 18. And many here, boys and girls, are around her age. Many of you here, boys and girls, are blessed with loving parents, a comfortable home. You are most of the time driven everywhere, to school, to tuition, or whatever, or you drive yourself. You don't have to worry about meals or clothing. Most of your housework is done by your parents or by your maid. You go to school, you watch TV as you like, you play games, you spend your time following the lives of popular singers and stars. Most of you spend your time on Facebook. Okay? That's why Malaysia is number one user of Facebook in the world. Each youngster maybe spends about 3 hours a day in front of Facebook. Scary. You're enjoying yourself. And this girl, before she was captured, was probably doing something similar. She was enjoying her youth. Maybe if she was from a poorer home, she would have to help her mother with her housework. Maybe she had to take care of her younger brothers and sisters. But she was a young girl and enjoying her youth. And then one day, her life was turned upside down. We do not know how. Maybe the Syrians came at night, attacked her village or her town, killed all who resisted them. Can you imagine all the confusion, the screaming and the crying, houses being burnt, people running all over the place. Total chaos everywhere. The Bible does not tell us about what happened to her family, whether they survived or they died. But this much we know. She was captured. This young girl was captured and became a slave. She lost her loved ones. She lost her home. She lost her pretty clothes, her relatives, her friends, her freedom. Everything that was precious to this young girl was gone. And the same thing can happen to us. Life can be so comfortable one moment. We're surrounded by loved ones. We're at a picture of health and prosperity. Things can suddenly change with a phone call, with a wrong turn of the steering wheel, with a wrong step. And things can change. And can change forever. The story of Humayun, one of the greatest Mughal emperors in India. He fought hard. He lost his throne, but he reconquered it somehow. He became the emperor once again. But one day, he was climbing up the stairs to observe the stars. He was a great astrologer. He was a Muslim. And then the call to prayer came, the azan. And he, being a religious man, wanted to rush to the surah or the mosque to pray. He was on the staircase. He turned around to rush off. He took a wrong step. He fell. And he cracked his skull. He died. One of the greatest emperors of the Mughal Empire is gone just like that, with a wrong step. It can happen to us. The story of this young girl is the story of life in a sinful world. And the life in a sinful world is uncertain and it can be sad. She and all of us here live in the same sinful world. And in a sinful world, good things never last. We only have to look around us and can see tragedy in so many lives. Even some of us may have experienced tragedy in our lives. We live in a sinful world and we suffer the effects of sin. Remember the bus crash near Malacca just recently? One man was sleeping in the bus. Next moment he wakes up in hospital. One of his arms was amputated. There's a Utah student, 5th month, I think, in engineering. He was sleeping in the bus. He wakes up in hospital and he's paralyzed, wrist down. Things change. And things can change for the worse. The question is, are we ready for such a change? Can we handle such changes? Losing everything that is dear to us, losing everything that we hope for. Can we change? Can we handle such changes? So we looked at the girl a bit. Secondly, we look at her life. Once again, nothing much is said about her. She was just a young girl. And being a young girl, we know that she had not lived very long. She had not experienced many things before becoming a slave. We do not know how long she lived after becoming a slave. But the life recorded in the Word of God is for us to take note of. She was a young girl, but she knew something that many of us here do not know, even at our old age. This girl knew about her Creator. This girl knew about her God, the God who made heaven and earth, the God who is in control of all things. How can we say that? How can we say that she knew her God? Remember her master, Naaman. Although he was a great man, he suffered leprosy. It's a disease of the skin. In the mild cases, the skin just turns white. In the very serious cases, your appendages start falling off. Your nose comes off. Your fingers comes off. We do not know how serious Naaman's case was, but we are quite sure he went to see many experts, but there was no cure. In fact, there will be no cure for leprosy until the 1940s, when the bacteria causing leprosy was discovered and a vaccine, I think, or an antibiotic was found for this bacteria. The little girl, this young girl, saw the condition of her master and immediately she gave the answer or suggested a solution to her mistress, the wife of Naaman. Look at verse 3. She says, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." The prophet that this girl was referring to, the prophet of God, was Elisha. He had just taken over from Elijah in preaching to Israel. And so this shows, her statement shows, that this young girl knew who the God of Elisha was, and she was quite sure of his power. She said, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." He would. So she knew her God. She knew what he could do. And it's a surprising statement from a young girl like her. Because during this time, when she lived, Israel was becoming more and more idolatrous. They were turning away from the worship of the one true God and following their neighbors, worshipping false gods. Astoreth, Baal, so many different gods, they were just following them instead of following the one true God. And we see here the grace of God. That although the nation was turning away from God himself, God preserved some people for himself. So we can take heart that although we may be surrounded by non-believers, as we can see very clearly, the number of people who visit the nearby shopping mall always outnumbers the people who come to church. But that is not a point to worry about. God always preserves a number of people for himself. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 14, this is a complaint by the prophet Elijah. "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel has forsaken your covenant. I alone am left." So Elijah was saying, only I am left. I am alone. I'm the only believer in the whole of Israel. God said in verse 17, "Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." Elijah was depressed. He thought he was all alone. He wanted to die. But God said, "No, do not fool yourself by what you see. I have preserved not one, not two, not 10, not 100, but 7,000 men who have not gone to worship idols." And so here in this girl, we find faith in the Almighty Jehovah, strong and alive. So let us take comfort. Do not be discouraged by what we see and think, by the numbers around us. But always hold on to the fact that God is faithful to himself, that he will not leave this world without a witness for him. So you see here the faith of this young girl. She had faith in the Almighty Jehovah. She was very sure that if Naaman would only go to see this prophet Elijah, the prophet of the living God, he would be healed of his problem, his leprosy. And after she had said this, Naaman reacted. Okay. His life was changed because of this statement from this very young girl. She was not only a young girl, a young believer, but also a strong believer in God. Who was she? At this moment in time, she was a slave. And during the society, during that time, a slave was really a bottom, right at the bottom of society. It's just like how we view the road sweeper or the person who collects your garbage. We view them as right at the bottom. No need to bother about them. No need to care. They are just there to do their job. She was a loser because she was captured and now she is a slave. Very often, when we feel that we are at the bottom of society, we are shy, or rather we are ashamed of ourselves. We will keep quiet. We do not want to say things. But this girl, she was a slave, yes, but she was not ashamed of her God. And she boldly declared that what her God could do for this her master. Her present circumstances did not make her doubt her God. She could have been ashamed of her God. She could have questioned, if God cared for me, why didn't he save me from being a slave? if God cared for me, if God loved me, why did He take me away from my family? And the same thing can happen to us. When bad things happen to us, we point our finger and say, God, why are you so unfair? Very often when we are blessed by God, we forget to thank Him. We enjoy God's blessing. The moment something bad happens to us, we start grumbling. We point our fingers and say, you are unfair. Why do you hate me? All that nonsense against God. When things are going well for us, we forget Him. We leave Him out of our lives. We forget to thank Him. But not so with this girl. For her, her God was real, despite her circumstances. She was a slave, yes, but she could still see her God. She knew her God. And she was brave enough, she was bold enough to declare her God to her unbelieving mistress. Her mistress could have laughed at her and said, who are you to tell me about this? What nonsense is this? Is your God greater than my God? If your God is so great, why didn't He protect you? Why are you a slave now? Perhaps that's what the mistress may have said to her. We do not know. But this is the fact. Very often when we witness to people, they laugh at us. Especially those people who consider themselves very qualified. They will look down on Christians and say, you are a clerk trying to tell me about God. Who are you? I'm a CEO. What nonsense. So let us not be taken up or taken down by our circumstances. Let us look at this girl, look up to God. She was going through a dark period in her life, but she knew that her God was still with her. Now in the past, during the solar eclipse, especially in China, when the people saw the moon covering up the sun, the shadow of the moon covering up the sun, and the whole earth was darkening, the people panicked. And they thought that the dragon was swallowing the sun. So what did the village people do? They took out all their wok, their kuali, their pots and pans, and they started banging. Banging all, whatever they could. Bang the gong, the drum. Why? They wanted to make noise so that to chase away the dragon. The dragon would not swallow up the sun. So after all that banging, I don't know how long you bang, but eventually the solar eclipse passed, and then the sun is there again. Today you see your neighbor banging away during a solar eclipse, you will laugh at him or her, isn't it? You know that it is only a temporary thing. The moon is covering up the sun, but it's only for a short time. And the sun is still there, you just don't see it. But eventually it will come again. We are panicking for nothing. So it's the same with this earth. Sometimes, because of our own sin, sometimes it's because of God's will for us, we go through a very dark patch in our lives. The sun seems to be covered. God doesn't seem to be there. We pray, but we don't seem to have answers. We read the word, but it is dry. We come to church, we don't seem to find comfort. Do not allow your feelings to fool you. That's what the devil wants. Just accept the fact that God is there no matter how you feel. No matter what you feel. No matter what your circumstances are. No matter what other people tell you. If you are a child of God, God is still there. And you look at how this young girl, she was going through a dark period, but she was still willing to share about her God. If only my master would go and see the prophet of God in Samaria. And her words, surprisingly, were taken seriously. What she told her mistress was passed on to Naaman and then to the king. Naaman suddenly got very excited at this new hope. And he quickly went to his king, the king of Syria, and told him. We do not know why her words were taken so seriously suddenly. But one thing is sure. If she were a believer in God, she would have behaved herself. As a slave, she would probably have been kicked around or ordered around. But as a believer, she would have done her job. obeyed. She would have done her best in whatever duties her mistress gave to her. Remember the story of Joseph? He was sold as a slave, first of all to Potiphar, one of the officers of Pharaoh. And he served, despite being a slave, he served Potiphar so well that this officer, this Egyptian man, gave Joseph to take care of his whole household. All this Potiphar cared for was the meal on his table. The rest of it, Joseph helped him. Joseph took care. So you see the actions of Joseph. He was a slave. But he did not take the fact of being a slave and let everything go up. He said, God has abandoned me, so I'm not bothered. Joseph worked hard. And the people, the non-believing people, they saw this. And they said, yes. Potiphar said, yes, this Joseph, although he's a slave, although he's a Hebrew, he can be trusted. The same thing would have happened to this young girl. She was a slave. But I go bet you, I'm quite sure that she did her best. She was obedient. She never complained. She never tao lang or chap tua. She worked her best. Whatever her mistress told her to do, she did. And she did it as best as she could, to the point that her mistress had no complaints. And the moment she spoke those words were taken seriously. And it's the same for us today. We as Christians, our actions more often than not speak louder than our words. If we call ourselves Christians but we behave like the world, nobody will take our words seriously. Nobody. We must live by what we say, no matter how it hurts us, no matter how it may disadvantage us. We must live by what we say for the sake of our God. And so when she spoke those words, God might have worked. He may have worked, moved the hearts of those who listen to the point that they believe this young girl's words. In Proverbs chapter 21 verse 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like rivers of water. He turns it wherever he wishes. God says, the hearts of even kings, or whatever leaders in this world, they are in his hands. And he can change them whichever way he wants. And in this case, the people who heard, first of all the mistress, Naaman's wife, heard these words, she believed. And she told her husband. And Naaman believed. And told the king. And the king believed. To the point that he quickly sent a great gift to the king of Israel and asked the king of Israel to help cure or heal this Naaman. And the king of Israel got so upset. Why is this man trying to find trouble with me? Who am I? Am I God to heal this man? But the king of Syria believed. And eventually, what happened? Eventually, Naaman met with Elisha. He was healed. And Naaman was converted. After this, we do not know what happened to the young girl. Whether she was freed or reunited with her family, we do not know. God has chosen not to let us know. But we have seen enough. God used her young life. God used her young life to witness for him. In the end, he healed this great man, Naaman, and eventually he saved this great man, Naaman. All because of this young slave girl. Her life should be an example to all of us. That no matter how insignificant we may seem in this society of ours, no matter how small we may appear to our friends and our relatives, it does not matter. If you are a Christian, you bear the name of God. You bear the name of Christ. And God is always with you. And whatever you say and whatever you do can have tremendous consequences. If you do something that dishonors God, that shame will go with you the rest of your life. But if you live according to God's word and God's will, God can use you to bring about tremendous change or bring benefit to the people around you. The point of the fact is, we must always know that we live in God's presence. Whatever we say, whatever we do, we have to be careful. Look at this girl. If she had kept quiet, Naaman would never have been healed, you think. Or maybe God would have used somebody else to save this man. But she opened her mouth. She spoke the right words. And Naaman was healed. Naaman was saved. So let us look at her life as an example for us. So finally, let's come to the lessons that we can learn from this young girl's life. First of all, we must know God early in our lives. Today, parents are very serious about bringing up their children. The moment they have a baby in the mother's womb, the preparation for the baby begins. You stick earphones on your abdomen and you play Mozart or something lah to educate your baby in the womb. There is a health spa in Mexico where the pregnant mother can go into the swimming pool and interact with dolphins. You know, the dolphins will come and nudge the mother's stomach. And they say that by this interaction, the baby will benefit. Of course, you have to pay quite a large sum lah for this interaction. No? So we prepare our children. We eat good food, vitamins and whatever. We want the best for our children. No? We start saving early. You know, we buy insurance. We buy unit trusts. No? We start choosing the best schools. We vet their friends and so forth. And as good parents, we want the best for our kids. We want to protect them as much as possible. We want to prepare them in the best possible way for their future life. We also try to our best to guard ourselves. We want the best for ourselves. We watch our weight. We watch our diet. We go for the medical checkups and all that. But we are only human. We are not God. We can only do so much, and so many things are beyond our control. Many people think, I know somebody high up, therefore I'm protected. I can handle any problem. I am well connected amongst the politicians, so I should be okay whatever I do. That's not true. That's not true. No matter how well the squirrel jumps around on the tree, one day it will fall. It's a literal translation from a Malay saying. You will fall. Whatever your connections may be, no matter how skillful you are, you will fall. Look at the two brothers in Banting. They murdered so many people. No, sorry. It is reported they murdered so many people. No? We do not know how true it is. Okay. No? But the fact is, the story comes out that they are well connected. They are protected. But if they indeed they murdered so many people, then their protection is all gone. The hangman's noose is waiting for them if they are convicted. Proverbs chapter 12 verse 1 says, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. One day, the sun will stop shining for you. One day, the good days will be gone. You must prepare." What is the best thing to teach a young person? When? In gymnastics, they say the younger the better. 4 or 5 years old, they will go for training, they stretch their bones and their ligaments. Because they're young, they're stretchable, they're soft and flexible. When is the best time to teach our youngsters language? When they're young. Young people can memorize tremendous amounts of information. They can learn a lot of things. The biological explanation is when we are young, our brains are still fused.
The older we get, the further apart the brains become, or rather the connection between the two brains, the left side and the right side, less and less connections are available. So your learning capability reduces. That's what the doctors say, right? So when's the best time to teach people? When they are young. When you are young, you learn faster, you learn better. The children's minds are like a receiver. You can fill it and fill it. We can either fill it with bad things, or we can fill it with good things. So boys and girls, you ask, how can we know somebody we cannot see, we cannot touch, we cannot hear? I'm talking about God. We cannot hear Him speaking to us. We cannot feel Him. Right? But we can see the effects of His work. Look at around you. Look at yourself. Look at the miracle of God's power. Look at yourself in the mirror. How well designed you are. You have two eyes, not one. Two eyes so that you have stereoscopic vision. You have one mouth so you can talk less. You have two ears so you can hear better. God's design is perfect. So look around you and see how blessed you are. You are sitting now in this church. You are surrounded by people who care for you, who love you. You are blessed with constant good teaching from this pulpit. You must learn. You must believe what you are taught. You must not just believe in stories, but you must believe in the truth. Learn about the Bible. Read the Bible. Learn of it. Believe it. Don't waste your time with all those funny stories that you find in the MPH bookshops or whatever, all those love stories, all those fictional stuff. Don't waste your time on that. You can read them once in a while, but don't be caught up with them. When you know God, when you know who Him, you will know who you are. You will understand why the world is what it is today. You will know and you will understand why bad things happen. You will know what to do when bad things happen. You will know how to act, you know how to think in a way which makes God happy and which will keep you safe. Young people must learn the right things. The younger we are when we learn such things, the better it is for us. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When you fear God, your wisdom, the things that you know begin. When you start with God as your starting point, whatever you gather after that is for your good. It will be to your blessing. When you realize that God sees all things, knows all things, nothing is hidden from Him, you will be afraid. You will have a godly fear in your life and you will behave yourself. If you do not have God in your life, if you do not fear Him, then you will end up doing silly things. First, in the beginning, small silly things. Then bigger silly things. And finally, big, big, big silly things. A friend of my son in school, I think it's Form 4, was driving a car without a license. Form 4, you cannot drive a car actually. But this boy drove. And one day he drove with his friends. We do not know what happened. The car crashed. And another boy in the passenger seat died. The driver has disappeared. Because the father of the dead boy is looking for the driver. He wants to beat him up, he says. No fear of God. No fear of God, you do silly things. No fear of God. You are just going further and further away and doing sillier and sillier things until you regret. And it is too late to regret. There's no point saying sorry. It's too late. When we have the fear of God in us, we will stay away from bad company because we know the effects of bad company. We will avoid unhealthy sites on the internet. We will avoid smoking because we know this body is the temple of God and God dwells in us. So how can we destroy this temple of God? If we destroy it, then we will have to answer to God for it. We will not waste our time with unnecessary things. Gossip. Too long on the internet. Or whatever. We will value our time. And when we fear God, God will keep us safe in this world. Especially when we obey Him. So parents, if you want the best for your child, if you want them to have useful life in this world, you want them to have a good life, you want them to have an honorable life, point them to God. Our children are not just flesh and bones. No, they are not just what you see. Fat, short, handsome, boy or girl. They are not just that. Within each child there is an eternal soul. And that eternal soul will live long after the body rots. We must care for the spirit, for the soul of the child. We live in an increasingly sinful world. Man is becoming worse and worse. Daily, we just read the papers and you'll find out the depths of depravity that man is coming to. All the funny things he's trying to do. Trying to outdo one another. And not just outside, but also sometimes within the church. Man is becoming crazier and crazier. How much can we do to protect our children? How much can we do to prepare them for this world? How much can we do to protect ourselves and prepare ourselves? How much can we teach? How much can we save for our children's future? How many houses can you buy for them to stay in? How much money can you save in the bank to keep them secure? How many degrees do you want them to have until they are happy in this world and secure? None of the above. Matthew chapter 16 verse 26 says, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What if we gave our beloved child the whole world, but you don't see them in heaven? It's all wasted. Wasted efforts. If you do not point our children to God, if you do not point our children to God, we will have wasted our efforts. And worst of all, God will ask us as parents, what have you done with these children that I've given to you? Have you taught them about Christ? Have you taken them to Sunday school? Have you taken them to church? Have you read the Bible to them? Have you prayed for them? We must make every effort to teach our children about God. They are never too young. It's never too late. As long as the children are under our roof, we must pray for them, we must read to them, we must bring them to church. And we must try and reach out to the children around us as well, especially children in non-Christian homes. We must reach out to them, invite them to Sunday school, ask them to come, convince them to come. The parents can see a change. We have some children coming from non-believing families, 3 in a family. The parents encourage them to come. Why? Because we believe that the parents see a difference in the children before coming to Sunday school and after coming. So there are no problems. In fact, they really like the children to come. So for us as members of the church, let us go all out to reach out to the children around us. Let us never tire to tell our children and the children from other families to tell them about God and all His wonderful works, especially about the Lord Jesus Christ. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, it says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Teach our children about God from early in their lives, as long as they are under your roof. That is the best thing you can do to prepare them for life in this world. The more they know about God, the more useful they will become. This girl was used by God to save Naaman. Your child or the children who come to Sunday school may be used by God to save their parents. Actually, we have one family in Subang. The children insisted on coming to Sunday school. They wanted to come. They came. And then they insisted the parents come for service. The parents came. So you see the power in young children, especially when they are used by God. So teach them early. Plant the seed of the knowledge of God in their young lives. And God may just cause it to grow as the children grow. So children must know about God early in their lives. It's never too young. That's why in our church, we insist the whole family attends the service. We can say that the children, the babies, and they are too young to understand the sermon. No such thing. The Word of God, when it's blessed by God, can be used by Him in whatever way He chooses, on whomever He chooses, whether the baby is sleeping or wide awake, God can use. So that's why we do not believe in having a separate session for the children, to keep them out of the parents' way. We want them to sit quietly under the preaching of God's Word. For we know, we believe that God's Word can and does have an effect on children. So children must know God as early as possible. Secondly, they must know God well. The story of Job. Job and his wife knew God. Both of them worshipped God. But eventually Job lost everything, including his health. He had sores on his body and then he had to scrape himself. It was a terrible sight. Eventually his wife gave up and told Job, "Why are you still following this God of yours? Just curse him and die." But Job remained faithful. Job knew God in a very personal way. Unfortunately, his wife knew about God. See the difference? Job knew his God. He knew his God, who he was, what he was about, his will and so forth. Job's wife only knew about God. Only a head knowledge. Just knowing about God is of no use. Just like you know your neighbor, he lives in that house, he drives his car, but you do not know anything else about him. Knowing about God, knowing God means knowing what he loves, knowing what he hates, knowing why he does certain things in certain ways, knowing him personally. Just like the young girl, Job knew that God is in control of all things, whether good or bad. The young girl did not lose her faith in God. She knew that even though she was a slave, God was still in control. God was still worthy of her worship and her witness. So God should be worthy of our worship and our witness, irregardless of what is happening to us. Job chapter 1 verse 21. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Whatever happens to us in this sinful world of us, life is so uncertain. Anything can happen and anything will happen. But are we ready? No matter how, no matter what happens to us, are we prepared to say the same words as Job? Nothing in this world is certain. Nothing. The only thing certain in this life is God Himself. God never changes. It's the same today, tomorrow, yesterday. God is the same. Nothing can change. Nothing in Him can change. Imagine, as parents, if we suddenly died, both husband and wife, and our children are still young. We want somebody to take care of them. Who is the best person in this world to care for our children? Isn't it God? The one who created these children for us? So we must teach our children, and we must show them by example also, that the moment we have a trouble, we go to God immediately. By prayer. Teach them that when we pray to God, He hears and He answers. Our lives as Christians must show to our children around us that God is real. They are looking at us. They are watching. They are seeing what we say. They are observing what we do. We must prove to them by our lives that God is real. Whatever happens to us, God is real and God is in control. Psalms 34 verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no one to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." We must teach our children to realize this, that if we obey God, we obey His word, then all that happens to us, God knows, and God is in control. And God will do what is good for them. God is acting when a child comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God is acting to remove indwelling sins from them, to protect them from the attractions of this world, to teach them to value eternal life, to teach them to value the things of God. When God is in the life of our young children, God will make them aware of their sins. They will realize that this world is not just a ha-ha matter. This world is serious. It's full of sins, full of evil. And the real joy and the real peace that they can find is only to be found in God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We must teach our children of God's judgment. We must teach them about hell and heaven. We must teach them about what happens to Christians and non-Christians. We must not hold back anything. We must be brave enough to tell them the whole truth and nothing but the truth. We must assure them of the future as God has promised in His word. So we must teach our children about the Lord Jesus Christ, who He is, why He came into this world, what He did. The more we teach about the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God, the stronger the foundation of these children will be. They may not realize it at this moment, but who knows? We read of many biographies, especially like John Newton. His mother taught him the scriptures when he was young. He became an orphan quite early. I think his mother passed away when he was 6 or 8 years old. But his mother prayed for him. His mother sang psalms, hymns, and taught him the scriptures. And so many years later, when John Newton was a slave trader, he bought and sold slaves. He was at the bottom, right at the bottom of his life. He was a slave. A slave trader became a slave himself. He began to remember what his mother taught him. And he was stuck on a ship, which was stuck in a storm. The scriptures came back to him. God helped him to remember what he learned when he was very young. So what we teach our children will not be wasted. God will make full use of it. Only let us make full use of the opportunity that we have. Look at this young girl. Look at her. She knew God when she was young. She knew her God well. That's why she was brave enough to tell her mistress, "If only my master will see this prophet of God, he would be healed." Clear, simple witness to God, for God. And God used it. I heard of a story where this young child went up to an old man and said that we often pray for you. And the old man was touched. And slowly, he gained an interest in the Christian faith and he was saved. The words of a young child, that child was perhaps only 4 or 5. So do not think that we are wasting our time with children. No such thing. It is worth every minute of our lives to teach our young ones, to plant the seeds of the knowledge of God, to introduce to them faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, introduce to them about sin, about judgment, about heaven, about hell. The things that we plant in their lives will be used by God. So in conclusion, all of us face uncertainties in this life. And we can never, never fully prepare for all emergencies. We always think that when we are sick, we can find the best doctor and we'll be taken care of. We think that when we have legal problem, we find the best lawyer and everything will be taken care of. But you must remember, the best doctors or the best lawyers are just human beings. And they are sinners as well, like us. Okay, they are not supermen. They have to eat, they have to sleep, they have to go to the toilet. They are just like us. Only one real help is available in any and all circumstances. And it is God, our Creator. He watched over this young girl when she was captured as a slave. And He used her for His glory. The same God will watch over our children when we commit our children to Him. The same God will watch over us when we commit ourselves to Him. The little girl, this young girl, knew her God. She was saved. And because of her, Naaman was saved. And we do not know what else. Maybe Naaman's wife, maybe somebody else. We do not know. The Bible does not tell us. But we know this. Because of her, Naaman was healed. Naaman was saved. The dying thief on the cross found the Lord Jesus Christ. He was saved. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, says the Lord. So let us point the way for our young children. Point the way to Christ, that they may know the real God. Let us be willing to be used by our God to point the way to the people around us, to our families, to our neighbors, to our colleagues at work. Let us always be ready to witness for God, whatever our circumstances may be, whatever our station in this life. Let us not be looked down upon by this world. They may laugh, but we must be strong, we must be constant in our witness, because God is always there. People change, society changes, the world changes. God doesn't change. The God of this young girl, this young slave girl, is the same as the God today that we worship. He has never changed. He has never changed the way that He deals with us. He will never change. His promises are true. So let us know our God early. Let us know our God well. And let nothing in this world tell us any differently. Let us pray.